The Apple story everyone is talking about.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. When we last talked on Friday, the big news for Apple was the launch of its new iPad. This morning, the big news for Apple is that it's going to tell the public what it plans to do with its $100 billion stash of cash. But there was a big story in between the iPad and the $100 billion that involves Apple and Marketplace. It emerged on Friday that our China correspondent, Rob Schmitz, had figured out that writer Mike Daisy lied about Apple's operations in China. Daisy claimed he had seen underage workers and employees who had been poisoned. His story was featured on the public radio program This American Life, which had to devote its entire show over the weekend to a retraction of Daisy's false claims. Rob Schmitz confronted Daisy on tape.
Kathy says that you did not talk to workers who were poisoned by hexane.
That's correct.
Rob is with us this morning from Shanghai to talk about what's been happening from all of this. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, let's start with Mike Daisy, the center of this investigation. How has he responded?
Well, on Saturday, which was a day after our Marketplace report aired and the same day that many stations were carrying Marketplace's collaboration with This American Life, Mike Daisy had a scheduled performance of his monologue. He inserted a prologue that he read before the performance, and here's part of it.
I wanted to let you know that This American Life is airing an episode this weekend that calls into question the veracity of some of the personal experiences that you're going to hear about in this monologue. And I want you to understand that what's being called into question is the personal experiences, the facts of what the situation is in China in manufacturing are undisputed, and they're reinforced by the New York Times, CNN, NPR.
And he left out Marketplace.
Well, Rob, I think one of the interesting things about this is something that you pointed out in your story on Friday, which is that while what he had said was not technically true, a lot of the things he was talking about were actually happening. They reflected real things that were happening at these factories in China.
Yeah, that's completely right. And I think that's an important thing that we shouldn't lose sight of here, that many of the things that Daisy lied about seeing have actually happened in China. There have been poisoned workers, and Apple's own audits have caught underage workers at factories making Apple products. But here's another fact that also might be missing from this whole conversation. From what we know, these are rare occurrences in Apple's supply chain. Life at factories that make Apple products is not all hunky-dory, but the truth is much more complicated than how Daisy's portrayed the situation.
Well, bring us back to the moment that you figured out that something was amiss. Why did you start investigating what he had said on This American Life?
Well, you know, I heard his segment, Daisy's segment on This American Life, and I immediately thought some of the details didn't seem right. So I decided to just Google the name of Daisy's translator who appears in the monologue. Her name is Kathy. And then I added the words translator and Shenzhen to her name, and there she was. I found her. The next day, I was at the gates of Foxconn in Shenzhen with a copy of Daisy's monologue. Kathy was with me, and after going point by point through his monologue, I discovered many of the details, according to Kathy, never happened.
What has Foxconn said about all this?
Well, they've responded to the Chinese press about this, and a spokesman said that he told the press that the truth has prevailed and that Daisy's lies were exposed. And then he added that he didn't think the reports about this had gone far enough to find out, according to him, what exactly is the truth.
Rob, do you think any of this is going to have an impact on workers at Chinese factories?
It's hard to say. Foxconn had promised a pay raise to its employees after Apple was under a lot of scrutiny, thanks in part to Daisy's efforts. But just last week, there were reports that hundreds of Foxconn workers at a factory in northern China protested because they didn't receive the raise that was promised. Labor rights groups have said they're now worried that Mike Daisy's fabrications could actually hurt efforts to improve working conditions throughout China's manufacturing sector. But it's too early to tell.
Rob Schmitz is the Marketplace China correspondent based in Shanghai. Thanks, Rob, and thanks for all your great reporting.
Thanks, Jeremy.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly lower in overseas trading this morning, down 0.4% right now in London. The United Parcel Service, or UPS, is buying a European rival called TNT for about $7 billion to boost its presence in Europe. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow lost 20 points to close at 13,232.
get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
There's a debate going on in the Senate this week about extending the life of the Export-Import Bank. It would ordinarily be a sleepy fight that even the biggest Washington insiders might gloss over, but it's turned into a bruising corporate battle between airplane maker Boeing and some of its biggest customers. Here's our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale.
The Export-Import Bank offers cheap loans to foreign companies that buy American. The bank might underwrite a low-interest loan to Ethiopian Airlines, for example, to order a Boeing airplane. That's good for manufacturing jobs here at home. But it gives Ethiopian Airlines an advantage over its American competitors who have to pay more for their planes. Aerospace analyst Richard Abulafia says that's why U.S. airlines that fly overseas, like Delta or U.S. Airways, are lobbying against expanding the EXIM Bank.
It's unquestionably true that jetliner manufacturing is a huge job creator and a big engine of economic growth, and exports are the overwhelming bulk of that. On the other hand, you can't pick winners without hurting somebody at home. And from the airline's perspective, that's exactly what's going on.
The Senate is considering a $40 billion boost to the EXIM Bank's loan portfolio, and politicians favor anything that creates manufacturing jobs. That's why Abulafia expects the amendment to pass. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And finally to Billings, Montana, where a woman named Mary Frances Rufato saves everything, including old coupons. And the other day, according to the Billings Gazette, she found a 26-year-old coupon for a complimentary gallon of ice cream from a local ice cream shop. Well, she called up the shop and asked if the coupon was still good, and it was. So Mary and her 26-year-old son, Kevin, celebrated his birthday with some cookie dough ice cream. Free of charge. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
American manufacturers don't have to look too far to find the roots of their problems.
It wouldn't be competition from China. The number one concern right now is finding skilled people.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the heart of Made in the USA. The numbers from Wall Street and today's business news as well. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.